to the January 6th hearings now. They continue this month in Capitol Hill. And right now it's unclear if President Trump or anyone in his orbit will face any criminal charges. But many are also asking how to prevent this from happening again, that is, strengthen election and governing institutions. Turns out a lot of lawmakers asked those questions after Watergate and put in place reforms. Let's talk about then and now with Julian Zelizer, historian at Princeton. Julian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Nice to be back.
After Watergate and President Nixon's resignation, Nixon, of course, was pardoned by President Ford, may have cost Gerald Ford the 1976 election. You write that that pardon represents healing over accountability. Which one of those does the country need now?
Well, that's a debate. I think there is a lot of demand for accountability. The fear is that focusing on healing, as President Ford did when he pardoned Nixon, doesn't really address the problem. And not only does it fail to achieve accountability for people who abuse their power, but it also fails to address the underlying problems that might happen again. So I think there are demands for accountability. It's just a question of how to achieve that.
Yeah. So after Watergate, a group called Common Cause arose. And then, of course, there was an election with so-called Watergate babies, lawmakers who wanted to bring a lot of change to Washington. Back then in the 70s, you know, what was on the agenda of change and what was accomplished?
Lots. It's a remarkable period of political reform in the United States. Some happens when Nixon is still in office. Congress, for example, reforms the War Powers process through the War Powers Act, which tries to increase congressional roles in deciding when troops were sent abroad. In 1974, Congress reforms the campaign finance system and creates a system of publicly financed presidential campaigns that would really last for decades and be quite successful. And finally, in 1978, years after Nixon had resigned, Congress, with Jimmy Carter's support, creates the office of a special prosecutor who was in charge whenever there were accusations of executive corruption to have an independent base from which to investigate.
Yeah. And you write that these reforms, kind of looking back, they were not all perfect. Yeah.
Some worked, some didn't. Some were too weak. Others just had unintended consequences. Some, like the publicly financed presidential elections, were pretty effective. But what is notable is Congress tried. It was an entire decade of reform, unlike anything we've seen since the progressive era, early 20th century America, where Congress dealt with the way politics worked, not just what policies were passed. And I think it was really important and moved us into a new era.
Do the political ingredients that existed back then exist today for reform?
Unclear. I mean, if you had asked me that in 1972, it still wasn't clear that an era of reform was coming, so we might be there today. But the polarization we see today, the intense polarization, makes it harder, because one of the things that happened is the shock of Watergate combined with the shock of Vietnam move voters from where they were, the status quo is fine, to a position where they're saying you have to do something, you have to reform the system, and that's when Congress acts. And the question today is, can that really happen? Or does the power of polarization combined with the way our polarized media works make that impossible?
I feel like I'm hearing your answer to that question, the latter.
Well, there's some optimism. I mean, there's some areas right now, such as reforming the Electoral Count Act, which does have some bipartisan support that would prevent a lot of what almost happened on January 6th, literally giving a vice president leeway to overturn an election. And so the question is, can others, you know, build on that bipartisan coalition and actually pass some kind of measure?
Voting rights legislation. You argue that passing voting rights legislation has never been more urgent. It's also not that likely. So where does that leave us?
I think it's going to be the states that are going to fight this out. There'll be continued efforts on the federal level, I'm sure, to pass something like the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, although it will depend what happens in the midterms. But I think the battle will be in states, in blue states, to solidify voting protection. And in red states, those battles between new demography and old demography over trying to reverse some of the measures that have been put into place over the last decade.
And quickly on a potential another insurrection someday in the future. Do you expect new protections to be put in place to prevent that?
Could be. I mean, there were discussions about limiting the power of the president to deploy troops because of things we're learning. I don't know. That's kind of fallen off the agenda. I think the other two reforms we discussed are probably the top priority right now.
Yeah. Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.